Good morning, Wyoming, and welcome to today's show. I'm Mark Hamilton, your host, and today we'll look at weather, and it is warm and windy. We'll also look at political happenings and what Liz Cheney has going on. We want to take a look at the 4th of July weekend and what is happening here in the state. And finally, we want to take a look at a writer and a homesteader. Hope you enjoy our show, and thanks for listening. Taking a look at Wyoming weather, I guarantee you it is hot, hot, and windy. The forecast is hot and windy. So definitely we have got into our summer months, especially going into the 4th of July. So expect some winds, expect some temperatures up in the high 90s. Looks like some periodic little storms could blow in at night due to this heat that we have, but I think it's going to be a long July. We're finishing out June here hot, and it looks like July is going to be about the same. So make sure you have a lot of liquid refreshment. Keep yourself hydrated, but the forecast is definitely hot and dry. Taking a look at Wyoming political news, of course, our congressional races are getting a little more heated. We're getting closer to the finish line with the end of June. July is going to be a big month with just a couple weeks in August before the actual primary. And I heard a couple podcasts, and I've seen this in different venues about Liz Cheney's campaign, about trying to get Democrats to vote for her. Verify it myself. So this morning, right here as I'm speaking, I got on to the Cheney for Wyoming website. And if I go into here, I can look at the area where it says learn to vote or how to vote for Liz. And I click on this and it gets down to general information. Where is the primary election? Where do I vote? What do I need to bring with me to vote? And then we talk about in this, they talk about to register to vote. How do I vote for Liz as a first time voter? How do I register to vote for Liz? How can I find my county clerk? Do I have to be registered as a Republican to vote for Liz in the primary, Republican primary? And yes, the Wyoming law allows voters to change their party affiliation at the polling place on election day, or you can change your party affiliation in advance. One of these is, how do I change my party affiliation to register as a Republican so I can vote for Liz? To change your party affiliation or declare a new affiliation, complete the Wyoming Voter Registration Application and Change Form, which if I click on, takes me right to the official document on how to go about that with the instructions, listing all my county clerks and where I need to go. And here's the actual application that I can actually fill out and mail to your local county clerk's office. So I've got all taken care of by Liz Cheney. And then it talks about that it has to be submitted not later than 14 days before the primary election. You may also change your party affiliation at your polling place on the day of the primary or general election or when requesting an absentee ballot. And also it has, how can I get an absentee ballot and one doesn't need to be returned? If I click on that, it goes into quite some detail with three big bullet points to get into that and how to get those absentee ballots in. So Liz Cheney is definitely pulling everything she can to try to get reelected. Right now the polls are definitely against her. I can come to this, her website, and it does have how to instruct these Democrats to vote for her. And I guess the question is going to be, how many of the Democratic voters out there are that energetic to vote for Liz Cheney? I think that's going to be the big question, how that will affect the election. So in other news, there is a congressional debate coming up with, I would assume Liz Cheney, I don't think anything's been confirmed, but Liz Cheney and Harriet Hageman, along with Anthony Bouchard and Denton Knapp and Robin Belinsky. There will be no one in attendance. There are some questions about this. There was comments I saw was about security, so it will be broadcast, but there won't be anybody there to listen to the debate, which I thought was rather strange. So we'll see how that works out, but that'll be on Thursday night. Also on Thursday night in Worland, there'll be a gubernatorial debate as that series continues on. So they've been rather interesting to listen to them. I don't think Gordon, I know it wasn't at the one, or I didn't call in at the previous debate I saw. I think they're setting stuff up that he can call in. I think that's a little bit of a disadvantage to, or advantage to the governor. But maybe it's a disadvantage where the people don't get to see him with the other two candidates. So I think that will be an interesting race also. Secretary of State is starting to heat up a little bit, as would be expected since that everybody was just a little bit late to get started with their campaign. So there's some good candidates out there. Take a listen and find out about these candidates and vote for the ones that are following what you want done here in the state of Wyoming. It'll be interesting the next few weeks as we continue on towards the primary on August 16th. Taking a look at Wyoming travel, heading here into the 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a busy weekend here in the state. A lot of activities, a lot of people are going to be hitting the roads. And it's going to be kind of a different weekend with the 4th actually on a Monday. But I expect that there'll be a lot of activities going on around the area. With that travel, the big thing here in the state of Wyoming that we seem to all look forward to is rodeo, and kind of the idea of the rodeo schedule. On the 1st of July, they have the Du Bois Wyoming Friday Night Rodeo. Also, Evanston Rodeo Series will start. Jackson Hole has their rodeo. Cody Stampede is going on, and Landers Pioneer Day Rodeo is July 3rd through the 4th. Also, on the 4th of July, Tensleep, Wyoming is the annual Tensleep 4th of July Rodeo. Jackson Hole will have theirs on the 4th and the 6th. On the 8th, there's the Du Bois Wyoming Friday Night Rodeos, and the Jackson Hole Rodeo will continue. And on the 7th is the Laramie Jubilee Days and Extreme Bulls. So you've got a lot of opportunities in the month of July to catch a rodeo at spots in the state of Wyoming. We've talked about this in previous shows, but there's been a couple other people that were injured. We had another encounter with a buffalo, which caused some injuries. And we've talked about this in previous episodes about people not following the rules, not being able to read or listen, and they get told repeatedly, and we continue to have these. It's just amazing. Also, in a tragic event, a hiker was attacked by a grizzly bear, and always said that when you get up into these areas, and this person was an experienced hiker, but got up into a high altitude area and ran into a bear, and didn't have an opportunity to use the bear spray and did get mauled pretty severely. So I've not heard how that person is doing. But anytime you start getting up and around the bear territory, you might as well be prepared. They could be around. So the outdoors in Wyoming, a lot to offer, but you always need to be safe and follow the directions. So, but it should be a busy weekend here in the state of Wyoming. A lot of things going on and a lot of places to go. I hope you enjoy the weekend. Happy 4th. Today we want to look at a writer and a homesteader here in Wyoming, Eleanor Pruitt Stewart. And this is from an article published by Barbara Ellen Bogart in WyomingHistory.org. And it is rather interesting. If cowboy is the king in the literature of Wyoming, then a woman homesteader is queen. In the 1910s and 20s, one such woman, Eleanor Pruitt Stewart, wrote about her homestead experience in southwestern Wyoming in numerous letters and stories. A single woman homesteader, Eleanor was not unique. Single women claimed roughly 12% of all homesteads in the western states. Through their personal reasons for homesteading varied widely, the desire for independence often dominated the letters, diaries, and memoirs they wrote. This desire was strong in Eleanor as well. Eleanor was born June 3, 1876 in the Chickasha Nation, Indian Territory in present-day South Oklahoma. Her father was killed in the late 1880s while serving in the military on the Mexican border. Her mother, Josephine Courtney Pruitt, married her husband's brother, Thomas Isaac Pruitt, shortly afterwards. With him, Josephine had 8 more children. Eleanor's formal education consisted of just a few years of grammar school at the Pierce Institute near the community of White Bead Hills, where her family lived. After the school closed in 1889, Eleanor taught herself to read and write from whatever material came to hand. In 1893, Josephine died of complications from childbirth. Thomas died the following year in a work accident, leaving 18-year-old Eleanor in charge of the 5 youngest of her siblings. In 1902, 26-year-old Eleanor married 48-year-old Harry Rupert, whom she had met in her grandmother's home. Together, they filed on a homestead in the Indian Territories. The marriage did not last long, however, and 3 years later, Eleanor left for Oklahoma City, where she found work as a domestic. Her daughter, Mary Gerine, was born there in February of 1906. In the fall of that year, Eleanor moved to Denver, looking for domestic work. Eventually, she found a full-time position as a nurse and housekeeper for Mrs. Juliet Coney, a widowed schoolteacher from Boston. In March, Eleanor saw an advertisement in the Denver Post for housekeeping sought by a Wyoming rancher, Clyde Stewart of Burn Fork, a hamlet in the southwest corner of Sweetwater County, near the Utah line. He needed help running his homestead ranch after his wife died. Eleanor responded immediately. He and Eleanor first met by appointment in Denver. Then Eleanor traveled to Boulder to meet Clyde's mother. Clyde offered the position and Eleanor accepted. Within a few weeks, Eleanor, Cherine, and Clyde traveled together by train to Carter, Wyoming, near Fort Bridger, and from there by wagon to the homestead at Burnt Fork. In May, Eleanor fulfilled her dreams of filing on a 160-acre homestead adjoining Clyde's. Clyde built a 12 by 16 foot addition to his house across the property lines of the two homestead claims to serve as Eleanor's cabin. The house not only met the residency requirements of the homestead law, it also signaled the joining of Eleanor and Clyde's lives. They married later that month. With Clyde, Eleanor had four sons, the first of whom died shortly after birth, and a daughter who also died as an infant. Eleanor shared her experience as a homesteader in lively letters she sent to her former employer, Mrs. Coney, picturing life in rural Wyoming neighborhood. Although she initially kept her marriage secret from her friend, Eleanor happily described her new homestead, writing, "Well, and I have filled my land and now I am a bloated landowner." Interestingly, Eleanor represented herself as single until several years into the correspondence. She told Mrs. Coney later that she delayed telling her about the marriage at first because she so wanted to be independent and claim her land on her own. Over the next few years, Eleanor wrote to Mrs. Coney frequently. Letters often consisted of stories about local characters, about Eleanor's own adventures, about neighbors' comedies and tragedies, all told in an informal and lively style. The image that emerges in the letters is of a cheerful, enthusiastic, hard-working woman who embraces her new life and who had a gift for observing human nature. Several years into the correspondence, Mrs. Coney, during a visit to Boston, showed some of the letters to her friend, Ellery Sedgwick, editor of the Atlantic Monthly magazine. Sedgwick, eager to expand his audience, saw the merit of Eleanor's letters and published them in a series between October 1913 and April 1914. In 1914, Hugoton Mifflin published a series in the book Letters of a Woman Homesteader with illustrations by N.C. Wythe. The letters were frank, vivid, eloquent, and perceptive. "To me," she wrote on January 23, 1913, "homesteading is a solution of all poverty's problems, but I realized that temperature was much to do with success in any undertaking, and the persons afraid of coyotes and work and loneliness had better let ranching alone. At the same time, any woman who stands her own company, can see the beauty of the sunset, loves growing things, and is willing to put in as much time at careful labor as she does over the washtub, will certainly succeed, will have independence, plenty to eat all the time, and a home of her own in the end." Both the magazine pieces and the book brought Eleanor enthusiastic responses from a nationwide audience of readers and viewers. The success of the book took Eleanor by surprise, for she considered her lack of formal education a real handicap as a writer, a challenge she overcame by ferocious reading. Encouraged by the success of the first series of letters, Sedgwick commissioned a second series of letters to be published in 1915. Eleanor wrote them during an elk hunt in the fall of 1914. After the second series of letters had appeared in the Atlantic Monthly, Hugoton Mifflin published them as Letters on Elk Hunt in 1915. Eleanor used her royalty money to purchase much-needed equipment and supplies for the Stewart Ranch. By the early 1920s, Eleanor was known nationally as the Woman Homesteader. Her success spurred her on to write more stories for publications. One of the personal highlights of Eleanor's life as a writer was being included in Grace Raymond Hebert's Map of History and Romance of Wyoming, a literary map of the state published in 1928. Eleanor balanced her prodigious output of letters and stories with an equally astonishing amount of work on the ranch. In the early 1920s, she spent her winter months in Boulder so her children could attend school. But spring, summer, and fall saw her on the ranch, raising gardens, caring for the livestock and haying, and entertaining many visitors who were drawn to visit the famous woman homesteader in her natural habitat. She suffered several periods of serious illness in the late 20s and 30s. She died October 8, 1933, of a blood clot to the brain following gallbladder surgery. She was buried in the Burnt Fork Pioneer Cemetery. Clyde and their sons continued to operate the ranch until 1940, after which it was leased. The family sold the ranch in 1945. Clyde died 3 years later and was buried beside Eleanor in Burnt Fork. Eleanor Pruitt Stewart's legacy is both historical and literary. She lived the adventure she wrote about, documenting the experience of homesteading that was so much a part of Wyoming's history, and writing about it with deep appreciation for her natural surroundings and her human neighbors. The original ranch house is now listed at the National Register of Historical Places, and the country that Eleanor knew so well and wrote about so eloquently still looks much as it did when she arrived as a hopeful young woman determined to make a life for herself and her daughter as a woman homesteader. Pretty amazing story, Eleanor, and what she did, and with her writing, how she promoted the state of Wyoming and the West. And you know what? We wouldn't be where we are without the Eleanors of our state.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed our show. As per the Code of the West, we ride for the brand, and we ride for Wyoming here at Let's Talk Wyoming, your Everything Wyoming podcast.